We are Natalie and Matthias. We welcome you to our conversations with B2B ecosystem experts and platform founders. Our goal is to uncover what they learned and help you to launch and scale platforms, marketplaces, and business ecosystems. Enjoy!
To this new podcast in the series, in our series Platforms for Future. I'm Natalie Dubin-Lamborghini, and I'm very pleased to co-host this session again with my counterpart, Matthias Walter, who's the creator of the Platform Innovation Kit and the founder of Fast Break One. Today, we have the privilege of hosting Mr. Sebastian Brenner, who's the managing director of Chemondis. Chemondis, we will tell you all about it today. It's a leading platform in B2B in the chemicals industry. So I'm not going to say any more because I want to keep a bit of information for afterwards. But I would like to thank you first of all, Sebastian for being with us.
Thank you, Natalie and Matthias, for the invitation. I'm excited to be with you today.
Thank you. So just before we get started with you and we start asking you all of those questions, I wanted to maybe say in a word for those of you who are, of the listeners who are joining us today who haven't listened to any other podcasts, the goal of those podcasts is really for us to explore together with the world-class leaders of those platforms that we've discovered across Europe and across the world, how they've applied platform thinking to their B2B business and learn how together we could learn to tackle, you know, some bigger challenges of the world. Bigger challenges, but also how can we leverage platforms to create economic impact and environmental sustainability. So, like I said, we've got today Sebastian with us, and we'll make this podcast probably something around 30 minutes, 40 minutes, but what's more important is that we're going to try to make it a bit of a conversation, you know, fairly interactive. And you will see that we've got some very interesting insights for you, or rather Sebastian has got some very interesting insights for you. So Sebastian, I will start with maybe asking you to explain what Chemondis is for those listeners who don't yet know.
Thank you, Natalie, for the introduction again. Chemondis is, as you said, the leading B2B online marketplace for the chemical industry in Europe. Maybe for those that are not so much familiar with the chemical industry, the chemical industry is a massive industry. It's a $5 trillion industry. It's actually the third largest B2B industry in the world. And I spent my entire career in this industry. And what I found fascinating is the idea of how can we digitize sales and marketing in this industry. You have to see that today, sales and marketing processes in this industry are very traditional. They're very much one-to-one, paper-based processes. And there's significant potential for, obviously, digitizing those sales and marketing processes. And we built Chemondis about 2 years ago and started again very much in Europe. And we've seen very good traction over the last couple of months, and I'm happy to share the story today about it.
Yeah, exactly. This would be really of interest for all of our listeners to learn more about the history of Chemondis and how do you came up with the idea to form this marketplace.
Yeah, Chemondis actually has a bit of a special history because Chemondis was found out of a well-established and well-known chemical company, which is Lanxess. Lanxess is a specialty manufacturer, a specialty chemicals manufacturer based here in Germany, but with a global presence. And the idea of Chemondis actually was born out of an initiative that was run at the company to identify digital levers for Lanxess for basically the entire operations. And what the guys basically identified was that it is lacking digital sales channels in this industry. And well, I think it was actually an interesting idea, and I got fascinated immediately right from the start to build something, number one, of this kind, but secondly also out of an existing industry player with all the know-how and all the backing that actually you need to run this.
So was this always in mind when you did this initiative to create a new company outside of Lanxess, or was this initiative more like we need to digitalize our sales channel? And then throughout this whole exercise of running and going through this initiative, then you this kind of thinking has been formalized, and then it shaped also the thinking of the executive, so that they said, yes, now we are really open to launch our own platform.
Well, there's different ways that you can go about online sales, online marketing. And as you can imagine, there was plenty of discussions at board and executive level at the time about which way to go and what option to use. But after thorough analysis, and there's plentiful of examples from other industries, I think if you think from a customer's perspective, what is the most customer friendly and also the most comprehensive offer to customer, a marketplace has certain advantages over a web shop or web portal. And at that point, we decided to go down that path, to go for an open marketplace. And that then led also to certain decisions to how to operate this company, certainly.
So it was more like you always have to put the customer into the center and say, okay, what is the best for the customer? And based on this kind of understanding, you can say, maybe if I don't build a platform, if I don't build this marketplace, maybe someone else will do it. And
Matthias, you're absolutely right. I mean, that was precisely the thinking. If you put the customer first and want to develop a superior customer experience for them, then this is absolutely the right way to go. And yes, Matthias, also that is absolutely true. We've seen this in many other industries, but also predominantly still in the consumer space. You need to drive that change, and you need to adopt your business model. And exactly like you said, if you don't do it, someone else is going to do it for you. And I think it's the smarter and better decision to be actively running that change and to be proactively transforming the entire industry, even towards using digital sales and marketing tools. Absolutely right.
I think one thing I was wondering when I first saw Chemondis, the thinking around platform and buying on platforms from a consumer perspective in B2C, it's fairly standard now. But would you say that? How did you assess the readiness of your B2B customers to actually buy chemicals online? It's, you know, something that seems very, with high requirements in security, in validating the authenticity of the products. So when you're talking about being customer friendly, how did you assess whether your customers were actually ready for this kind of setup?
Yeah, I think there's several angles to this. And I think maybe the first and foremost was you need to have, and we call this domain knowledge, you need to have an understanding of what matters to the industry. And exactly you said, Natalie, what do you need to provide to enable them? And also to, maybe that's something we'll talk later about, also to, how do you form the trust of people to try such a platform and to give it a chance? You have to see, we are talking industrial scale chemicals. We're talking of average ticket sizes, which are 5-digit euros. So we are not talking small consumer transactions, which may be, you know, a couple of euros or dollars. We're talking significant investment. And yes, you're right. I think the answer to that is you need to know what matters to the industry participants, and you need to convince them of the benefits of trying such new channels.
So having this kind of, let's say, thinking in mind and this ambition to put this marketplace out there, this is one thing. But maybe you can explain a little bit more about your journey you went through from having this idea and having this kind of motivation to really starting Kimondis. So what happened between this kind of initiative and then the first day you really exist?
Yeah. I think first and foremost, there was a very, very early and important decision to separate Kimondis out of any kind of Lanxess organization or setup. And this has various reasons. Number one, we are a software company. We are providing software and for the chemical industry, but we are not a chemical company. And this is different ways of working in different also kind of DNA, also different processes, different kind of profile also of people that you are requiring or that you are hiring. Yeah, that was a reason. Second is... I mean, obviously, we went with the approach to be open to any player in the industry. And that per se just is possible if you are outside of any home turf organization, if you want to call it. You need to be separate. Yeah. And then lastly, and equally important, there's legal reasons to do this as well. Yeah. You have to have full separation of team, of IT, of your office. There's virtually today no link between us and our financier, which is Lanxess, yeah. But that could be theoretically by now also other potential investors, yeah. We've I think done very well. It allowed us simply to start from a green field and to be very quick and also free in the way that we designed this profile and this product without any kind of limitations that were given to us. And that is something that I personally think was a big success factor for what we've built in the last 2 years.
It's very interesting, I think, that you say you're a software company and not a chemicals company. So that's a, you know, really displaces the positioning.
Yeah. It's our business model, right? Our business model is provide a software platform for the industry with industry know-how, but also equally with the know-how of digital sales channels. We've got plenty of expertise in our team from people that have worked for other industries that are already a couple of steps further than maybe the chemical industry is in digital transformation. And that together, actually, I think is something that made us a strong team and also successful in the market. Think of the tourism industry, yeah? Think of the tourism industry. I mean, it's a consumer-facing industry, but if you think 10 years back,
yes,
I think processes there were similar to what we see today in the chemical industry. And again, I don't see why, with the particularities of this industry in mind, obviously, yeah, knowing about the chemicals and also the complexities of you know, managing a chemical product, I don't see any reason why we should not be going down the same route than what we've seen from other industries. So we've got on our team people that went through this transformation already from other industries. And this gives us, I think, a couple of steps already thinking ahead of what the future might be.
So this is a typical pattern we see right now. So maybe we could say that today, every kind of industry is really ready for platforms and marketplaces. So last time we talked to another platform, Tabio, who is part of the wood industry, also another very traditional or old industry, but they are also creating not only a marketplace, but really a kind of a software company there to act as a platform and orchestrate the whole market. So it's really a kind of a big trend and a kind of a state of the economy that each kind of industry is really now ready for being a platform. So coming back to your history, you created your own legal entity and you created Kimondis. Maybe the biggest challenge was, I think, how do you solve this kind of chicken and egg problem? How do you really start it?
It's a good question. I think this is something for every platform or marketplace, which is absolutely critical at the beginning to understand. And I would want to give you a very honest answer. At the beginning, we just try to try to shoot as broad as possible, yeah, because we wanted to try out and see, you know, where do we gain traction, where is also market segments in this chemical industry that fits. I told you earlier, it's a $5 trillion industry. It is number one geographically, extremely international. This is a fascinatingly global industry. But number two, also within the chemical industry, there is hundreds of thousands of substances, literally. Yeah. So you've got a vast complexity along also then different process steps in the industry. And I think for us, the breakthrough was really to focus and narrow down the focus very much. So we thought, again, we saw it from the customer angle, and this is from my perspective now, the buyer. So from the buyer's perspective, how can we make it attractive for them to buy on the platform? This has certain, you know, product features that we had to deliver, but then obviously we had to have the right portfolio and the right set of suppliers to be attractive for them. Yeah. So what we did is we decided at some point, number one, to focus geographically on the European Union. This is our core market. This is where we want to gain traction. And secondly, within the European Union, we focus on two segments. That's the paints and coatings industry, and it is the adhesives and sealants industry. And why was it a breakthrough? Because we were able to identify with our chemical experts that we have in our team, you know, what's the kind of portfolio that a typical buyer would be looking for in these two target segments. And with that in mind and that knowledge in our hands, we could go to suppliers and tell them, look, we are interested in portfolio ABC. That's precisely what we need. Can we get this from you? And once we had this in a certain range, that was our first step then, we were able to go to the buyers and tell them, look, we've got all the portfolio that we need, and we've got it from a list of very reputable companies. Why don't you give it a try? And that, what I think, was really a breakthrough for us to cut through the chicken and egg topic, to have the understanding of the buyer, translate that into the supplier side, acquiring the portfolio, and then basically go back to the buyer side and say, again, look, this is really interesting, a place for you to be. And you would be maybe surprised. If you look at the structure of the chemical industry in Europe, it is actually a very fragmented industry. You have 22,500 companies in Europe registered to trade or manufacture chemical products. And this is classical Mittelstand, yeah, small and medium-sized enterprises that we were able to give from one day to the other a digital channel. And that played out very well. I think we had a very good USP to those guys played this out.
And so you had also this setup with Lanxess as your, let's say, mother company behind. Could you kind of leverage kind of their assets, like the customer base or whatever, to get access to a larger customer base easier? Or do you think this, you know, could you kind of leverage something from Lanxess as a mother company?
Look, I mean, obviously, when we like had our first trials with our MVP, yes, we were able to try out, you know, certain things with, you know, a couple of like friendly users and this kind of setup. But very honestly, we didn't do that for various reasons. Number one, European GDPR actually wouldn't allow for those customer contacts to be transferred from one company to the other. So that's actually a big blocker. But secondly, and I think this is significantly more important, our team has the ambition to actually grow in that market by themselves and to acquire the customers by themselves. So we went out, and I think we've got a very sophisticated setup by now to acquire companies on the buyer and on the seller side. So to answer your question, Matthias, we did this very selectively at the beginning, but that was just really for the very, very first couple of steps. And after that, we went all alone by ourselves into the market.
And so you're now more than a scale-up, not a startup anymore. So how went you from solving this chicken-egg problem into further growth, further scaling your marketplace?
Yeah, I think at this point in time, we can say with confidence, again, that we've gained nice presence in the target segment. We have 3,500 companies now online or listed, active on our network. But if you compare that to the 22,500, there's very much way to go for us still. And also, again, I mentioned we're very much still focused on certain portfolio elements. So for us, it is now to continue to gain traction in this target segment, yeah, to increase the activity of the market players that we have acquired now further and further. And then at some point, I think it's going to be the decision for us to expand. And that can be geographically, or that can also be an expansion of portfolio into other adjacent portfolio elements that would make sense, that actually would expand our footprint further in Europe.
So the 22,000 companies that you're talking about are only for paint and coating and glues and...
No, that's the entire chemical industry.
Okay, so what subset does the paint and coating market represent? Because I think it's a really key point that you're making, because when we're talking about platforms, because we have in mind this great growth and scaling, and we're tempted to, you know, say that we want to target the whole market and go big. And but the secret, and you just illustrated it really well, is to focus and start with really something very precise.
You have to see that in B2B, it is not as maybe a quick turnover to convince a company to try out a platform, right? In a company setup, you're talking to multiple stakeholders, yeah, to a buying center, yeah, to convince various people with various roles and also maybe various interests of the pros and the cons. And then, I mean, you will have to convince them of the pros. Yeah. So this is something that you need. It's a marathon. Yeah. And some of these sales cycles, this is not done in days or weeks. This is, we're talking month, maybe in some instances, even 12 months plus to convince a company to do it. But I think, again, it's worth it. But this requires effort, and it requires actually stamina to persevere and to always, you know, keep the contact, to convince them and to make them try it out. And then once they try it out, obviously, you have to deliver the success stories to them. Yeah, you have to deliver the successes. You'll have to show them how they can generate new business, how they can be more successful with the usage of Chemondis. And then it is actually easy. Yeah. Once you have these success stories inside also bigger companies, it is, I think, the moment that you are really gaining traction also within such companies.
Yeah, maybe can you give a kind of an example? Because, yes, I think this is really the most crucial part here. And when we talk to other platforms and help them to scale, we always see that it's not, it's easy for them to acquire first time kind of users, and they try out and then they check in and see if this is good or bad. But it's the hardest part to turn those first time buyers into recurrent customers. So maybe you have a kind of a success story or kind of example you can share with us.
No, I would say it's exactly one of the key challenges, Matthias, that you've just mentioned. And I would say it's also a challenge that we are facing. I think the trick or the advice that I can give is to be very clear on what do both parties expect. So be sure that you are setting realistic expectations from both sides on what can be achieved in such partnerships. And then to be honestly following up, and to be, that is something we do, for example, very much in our business development team. We just really build a very, very short and close collaboration and relationship with all our clients. You have to see where they're starting. They're starting from pen and paper in some instances, yeah, or from PDF and email, yeah. So you've got to start them. You have to take them by the hands, and then you really have to guide them through the process. And again, it is really crucial then to show those success stories. That is really a game changer inside many of the organizations. And again, as I said earlier, be realistic on your expectations and really agree on those expectations. So what does good look like for us after a couple of weeks or a couple of months on the marketplace? And then this is something that both parties can actually play their part and be successful. And it's not enough for a chemical company just to put products online and then wait until the orders fly in. Yeah. It is more. It is something that we as Chemondis can support with our activities to promote those products online, to make sure that we get the right buyers and suppliers together. But it is also the suppliers and buyers' role actively on the marketplace that makes them successful. So it is something that both parties need to contribute to make it a joint success at the end.
Most of our listeners know that we have this value framework, which we always use to determine how good is this platform and how well positioned it is in the market. And the value stack is represented by mainly three layers, like the engagement layer on the top, where you have the engagement, where you have your marketplace, where you connect the people. Then you have a data layer below, which enables you to gather data, but also analyze and trigger kind of behavior, maybe. And we have at the bottom an infrastructure layer. And we very often see that platforms evolve from, let's say, the top layer into the lower layers, building up further capabilities on data layer and infrastructure layer, or they work upwards and say, okay, I start in the infrastructure layer, like IoT platforms, and then later on I have an app store or whatever at the top. So how do you see Qimondis? I would say you started at the top as a marketplace on the engagement layer. How do you see, maybe also with your DNA as a software company, how this can further evolve? What other capabilities you would like to build up in the future?
Actually, Matthias, I quite like this three-layer approach. I think there's a lot of parallels to how we started. We very much started from the top, to be very clear. Yeah, we wanted to have the engagement. We wanted to trigger the interaction on the platform. As I said, our goal is to increase the activity of our marketplace participants now. That's clearly our focus. But in parallel, we are starting to, obviously see more and more transactions on the platform. And that gives us an interesting pool of data, in terms of real-time transactions that are happening in the industry, but also in terms of customer interaction with our platform. What are people using? Page views, for example, on suppliers' pages, like what's happening there? How do I compare against, maybe my competition that I have on the marketplace? How do I rank? How can I improve my ranking on the platform? All of those things, obviously, are things that are very, very much now at our focus of our developments. This is very clearly the second level of development for us. And then thirdly, the infrastructure. I would maybe, if I may want to rephrase it, look at this like, what can we add in terms of value-added services to our offer? How can we integrate maybe partners onto our network that add value to our participants on the marketplace? And actually there, we are also working on various fronts. We'll actually be just announcing in just a couple of days our first cooperation with a chemical logistics provider. So we've basically integrated them. So once you've made a deal, once you've come to an agreement to ship product from A to B, we can bring this party in to make you a logistics offer. Yeah, and we could think this in all kinds of other ways that, and now I'm talking more the infrastructure of the deal, of the value-added services around the deal, that we can now with our platform very easily basically link onto that transaction that has happened on the marketplace, and which again makes us more attractive as a marketplace, but also gives value to the participants of our platform.
And the point you mentioned with the data, there's also very often a kind of a downside attached to data, especially here in Europe. Maybe the companies, also especially in B2B, they are very skeptical. So they say, hey, I'm using this, and they are collecting a lot of data, but what they do with this data? So how do you deal with this kind of skepsis in the market around data and data privacy, and what kind of advantages you can take based on the data?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, we are very responsible when it comes to data. Yeah? The data is stored to the highest available standards on the market. It is stored exclusively here in Europe. There's no data which is leaving the European Union. Yeah. But secondly, also, all data is only available to those parties involved in a transaction. Yeah? So there's no sharing of any competitor data with other competitors. This is absolutely no go. It would, I think, entirely destroy our trustworthiness if we would allow for any such things to happen. Yeah? So that is very clear. So yes, we're taking this topic very serious. And Matthias, yes, it is. To some extent, it is a very German, I would say, a kind of topic, yeah, which I hear very much in discussions with German customers. But then again, also you have to think of the alternatives. I mean, we're doing this very responsibly. We're doing this within the industry. We're doing it for the industry, actually, to the benefit of the industry. I mean, what is the alternative again? If you want, someone else is going to do it. And I think the data is in our hands significantly better kept than in other scenarios that one might think of.
So the data security and privacy is obviously one of the key issues or topics, if I want to be positive, that we have to handle in platforms. And more broadly, back to the comments we were making earlier on trust, we're talking about chemicals. You're also talking about transport. So beyond the fact that, you know, on your platform, I can buy hundreds of thousands of value of chemicals, I can also have them transported or delivered to me. How do you handle trust as a whole? Matthias always says trust is the most valuable currency in B2B. And obviously, you know, beyond the data, the trust is of primary importance. So, you
know. Yes, Natalie. Trust is of utmost importance, and we decided very early on that actually trust is at the center of what we do. You mentioned correctly, chemicals can in some instances be in the wrong hands or in the wrong handling can be dangerous. So number one, we do not have any core competence in that topic. That is why we're saying we are a software company. We are not a chemical distribution or manufacturing company. That's actually one of the main core competencies of those partners that are working with us. When it comes to storage, when it comes to logistics, when it also comes to the regulatory part of, can I actually sell this chemical product to this company? Yeah, this is something which is very well regulated in Europe for very, very good reasons. Second topic is, we are verifying every company that is registering with us. Number one, we are only open for companies, not for private business. Yeah, so that's number one. Number two, every company gets validated and checked by us for various factors, which is very similar to the check that also the industry players would run. So we basically do a pre-qualification to make sure that those products are, that those companies are legitimate in their interest to trade chemical products. And thirdly, in the European Union, again, as I said, there is regulation. REACH is one of them. REACH is a regulatory framework for the chemical products. And we take pride, and we basically require that all of the products that are offered on our marketplace are REACH certified, so that we can make sure that they are in compliance with the European regulation on chemical products.
And talking about trust, to attach to trust is also responsibility, and not only responsibility maybe towards the buyers and sellers of your marketplace, but also maybe to the environment. So how do you see this kind of response? Well, how do you take this responsibility and think about what kind of positive impact you maybe can have also to the environment? So especially in the chemical industry, I think this is also something people have in mind. So I see all the chemistry and maybe this is maybe kind of waste and whatever. So how do you take this responsibility for the society of and our nature?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a very important and also rightfully a top agenda topic in our industry. Look, a marketplace, I think, can be a pivotal place when it comes to a circular economy. And I think that's actually one of the most promising ways when it comes to more sustainable industry. A marketplace like Immondes could potentially in the future be the place that you basically circularize the products, that you get them back into the loop. And the beauty of the chemical industry as a process industry is that you can not only trade those products forward, but we can also recycle them back into the process chain. And actually, this is, I think, very promising scenario for also us as Immondes, and something that we are definitely working towards in the future.
Yeah, this is definitely, I think, something each industry needs to more and more discover how can they move from reducing waste to a circular approach and maybe also to having a positive impact or giving back more than you use. Very, very good. Sebastian, many thanks for your insights into Chemondis and your journey from, let's say, zero to your marketplace you are today. So I think we learned a lot about how an incumbent company could start and go on with this kind of initiative and how you also solved this chicken egg problem on having a customer-centric mindset and a strong focus on region, on segments in your portfolio. So starting small, but think big and start small. And also how you can turn so kind of first-time buyers into recurrent users by creating success stories, sharing those success stories and, yeah, helping them. And also we talked about trust, and you said also trust is in the center always. How can you build this trust by, for example, validating and checking the users before they becoming real users of your marketplace, etc. And then we talked about sustainability. So I think we covered a lot of topics and interesting topics, and I'm sure we could talk on for many, many hours more. So thank you again for sharing this. But before we come to an end, we always have this very special questions to our guests. And this is about what would be your key advice as an executive and platform leader to others, to other executives, to other leaders around the world. What is maybe the key thing you learned in your last 3 to 5 years?
I think the trick is relatively simple. I think it's just really to get things going. There's always a time of thinking, of strategizing, of contemplating about which way to go. But once you've decided to do it, you need to be fast in this thing. And you need to give the people and the team that you're trusting to build something like this the freedom and the opportunity to do it. In the necessary freedom and the necessary entrepreneurial kind of space. And I think that's kind of the thing that I would say, Matthias, is looking back, the key success factor for us to build this for the chemical industry.
Great. So being fast and have this entrepreneurial spirit, this entrepreneurial execution. Thank you very much from my side, from our side, for being a guest on our show.
Thank you.
And
yes, thank you very much.
We cross our fingers that you will continue with your success and come on this. And yeah, hopefully maybe we can have another session in 1 year or 1.5 years and see where you're then. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Sebastian.